On this week's episode of What the Puck, we talk about the Capitals dropping their first game against Chicago. We talk about Martin Erat and how he doesn't seem very happy to be a Capital right now. We say goodbye to Matthew Perreault as he now flies free over to the West Coast. Washington, D.C. takes a page out of the NHL's playbook and actually lock out all of their employees. All this and more on this episode of What the Puck. Everybody, welcome to What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. It's the regular season. Hockey is back. It's hockey in October. Who missed that? Who else out there missed that? I know somebody else who missed it just besides me. Coach Dan, he's Skyping in with me. What's up, man?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm good. You don't sound as excited as me that hockey's back. You seem a little down in the dumps. Is it because the Capitals came up short in that first game?
No, I mean, it was somewhat disappointing to see how they played last night. I think offensively they did enough. I think if you score three power play goals in a game, you better freaking win that game. But when it came down to it, they choked on the 5-on-3, and they ended up taking the loss. And you can go back to each of Chicago goals and see a couple of problems there. You go to that first one. I don't know what Braden Holtby was doing, but he was not in a good enough position to make that shot, to stop that shot. And I don't think he did a good enough. Holtby, I think, last night had a lot of good parts, but when the team needed him most on that first goal for Chicago, and what I want to say was the fifth one for Chicago that ended up being the game winner, he choked. I don't know what happened with his glove there. Yes, the puck was deflected by, I believe, Joel Ward, but I don't think it was enough to cause any problems. He tried to make like a glove save, and it bounced off his glove like they were playing pinball and went right into the net. It was an ugly play and ended up being the game winner, and it certainly wasn't good enough for an NHL goalie. But I think it was just a couple of mistakes early season. I'm not concerned yet. But defensively, they had a lot of problems. Carrick had a lot of rookie mistakes, but that's expected when you have a 19-year-old guy playing. Erskine got burned a couple of times. That's always been my concern with him, is the fact that he's slow as all get out. So they have some interesting things to work on here. The offense, I thought, did enough, but in that 5-on-3, I mean, that thing just killed me.
Yeah, this was an interesting game. I'm not completely down in the dumps about this team. I am very excited. This team does look good, even though it did come out to be a loss. It was the first game of the season. It was against the Stanley Cup champion, so it definitely was a tough opponent. There were a lot of different factors. I think absolutely the Connor Carrick, Tom Wilson being out on the ice, these guys are definitely rookies, and no matter how bad that I wanted Tom Wilson to make this team, and Connor Carrick, you know, he showed a lot during rookie camp and training camp. These guys are young, and they're rookies, and they're going to make those mistakes. I definitely think both of them are super talented and will definitely be a factor on this team. Whether they're going to stay the whole season up here or if Carrick goes down to developmental, I'm not sure what he'll do. Well, this is just one game, so I think he's going to learn from this and come back and be a better player. Braden Holtby, you know, he's a great talent. A lot of people said that he doesn't deserve all the accolades that he gets because he has a lot of AHL experience, but he doesn't have a full NHL season underneath his belt. Now, he's definitely getting it this year, and Adam Oates has definitely come out. I mean, he hasn't blatantly said it, but pretty much Braden Holtby is the number one guy. He got the start tonight over Nuvi, but he did make a lot of mistakes, and I think he'll just learn from that. He's the type of guy who looks at the tape, and you know he can figure out what he has to do better. But for one of those goals, I don't know if it was the first one or second one. It looks like Jonathan Toews bumped him or like hit him in the back of the head or did something.
He nudged him a little bit, but I don't think it was enough to cause enough of a problem. That I think it was the first one's the one you're thinking of where Toews went behind him.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was enough that it shouldn't have caused as big a problem as it did. I think that he didn't hit him enough that it would have caused any real issues.
Well, I don't think it was the actual hit. I think because of the hit, like Braden Holtby, would be hurt or anything like that. I think it just threw him off. I think it was kind of like, all right, here he comes with the puck, and he's like, what? Wait a second, what's this guy doing behind me? And I think he lost his focus. I definitely think that's on Braden Holtby. He's gotta be able to deal with all this kind of stuff with people getting into his crease and getting into his space, because people are gonna do that. Players are gonna do that. The NHL is full of guys that will do that. I just think that he had himself psyched up and his mind got the best of him.
I mean, that's what I thought too, and they mentioned that during the broadcast, and I sort of watched it during the replay. And I don't think he moved enough that it would have caused a problem. I think in the end he just had bad positioning, that he left enough of a hole open that the Blackhawks were able to score. What was that, the Patrick Kane, I believe, scored
yeah,
that one?
Yeah, it was Kaner.
So that's your boy. So I just think Holtby choked on two goals, but I think that should have been enough. I think the defense, you know, I mean, you give up a bad goalie, fine. You two, not so great. But I think on their, second and third goal, I think the defense didn't help out very well. They left guys open. They were able to sneak in and get some quality shots on that. They ended up finding the back of the net. I think the fourth goal that they gave up, which is a nice play by the Blackhawks, at that point you're just clapping your hands and good job. Okay, well done. You guys did a good enough job to get that goal. I think in the end they didn't do enough defensively last night, both the goalies and the defense, to come away with a win. I think the offense did just enough. You know, they did enough to win the game. That's 5-on-3, though. I don't understand. And this, I don't think this is a player's there. I think this is going back. They did the same thing last season when they had trouble in 5-on-3s last season. And I think the biggest problem is that they don't move enough. You have guys and they just stand around. I think if you continually move guys around, you cause the defensive players to then have to move around, which then opens up holes, especially underneath. I think a lot of the times, if the puck will go out to one of the sides and you didn't see Ovechkin or Green sort of sneak in for a closer shot, they still hung to the outside and would take these slap shots from outside. And when Corey Crawford is on like he was last night, that crap's probably not going to work. Okay, unless Grabowski's going to come and tip another one in, it's not going to work. I think the 5-on-3 needs to be reworked. That power play needs some help, because 5-on-3 was working great. 5-on-3 did not. If you're not going to score in 5-on-3 and you're having this much trouble with two extra players on the ice, it's a problem.
Yeah, I was the power play, they definitely were able to get some work done. The 5-on-3 was a problem, but the offense I was very happy with. Ovechkin looked like the happy-go-lucky Ovechkin. One of his first plays of the game, I mean, he came so close to scoring a goal, and you could tell he was frustrated when he got back to the bench. It looked like he just didn't lift up his stick enough, and he kind of went wide with it, but he looked sharp. I was very impressed with Ovechkin last night. For the first game, Mikhail Grabowski. I mean, great. We were talking about possibly being a question mark last week, but man, he comes in first game as a Capital, and the dude gets a hat trick. I mean, hats off to that guy, definitely, because he really did show a lot of grit there, and he's proven something this year, man. I don't know what it's going to be, but he's definitely playing for some big money next year. He looks great in a cap sweater, so I'm happy to have him there. I like what he brought to the table.
Well, he's playing for a new contract, definitely. After he signed a 1-year, $3 million deal with the Caps, he certainly wants to sign a longer deal, probably with more money. And I think if he plays this well throughout the rest of the season, I'd love for the Caps to find a way to keep this guy around. I think put him on Kuznetsov and Troy Brouwer, and things could be very interesting next season. But he became the first Cap to ever score a hat trick in the first game of the season. Nice job there, Grabowski. But yeah, I think he's done a great job, and I got to be honest, I kind of wish I picked him up instead of Marcus Johansson for my fantasy hockey team.
Yeah, I was very excited to see him. The one guy we do have to bring up, though, news came out earlier today. We got to bring up Martin Erat, because after one game, he's only got 9 minutes of ice time, and he's been moved around a lot in the training camp. He seems like, I don't know if he's not happy. It seems like he still is happy with where he's at, but he seems concerned because he's saying he doesn't know where he fits in with this team. He's been moved around from wing to center during the training camp, and that he was working a lot with Matthew Perreault, and now Matthew Perreault's a duck, and we'll bring that up a little bit later. But Martin Erat, he seems like he's a little bit worried because he really does not fit in with this team right now.
Yeah, I got to be honest. Martin, I'm with you, dude. Like, I don't know what your role is either. If you're going to go and you're going to trade your number two, arguably your number two prospect for a guy, why the hell are you putting him at a position he's not necessarily comfortable with on the third line? I want to see Erat on the first line on the left wing with Ovechkin and Backstrom. I saw him out there playing last night, and I felt like he wanted to do more offensively, but he doesn't have anybody around. He's got Joel Ward, who played a good game last night. I'll give him some credit, but he's not an offensive guy. And Fair, who is an offensive guy, you know, he's not going to go out there and score, 30, 40 goals, but he's going to play good enough. I'm with Erat. I don't know what his role is. I'd like to see him in the top six. I think you bump like back. Either way, they've got way too much money going to – Erat's got, $4 million? Like's got 4.5. Erat's got 3. I mean, they got a lot of money sitting on the third line right now. So I'm with him. I don't understand exactly what Oates is doing right now.
I've been on record for a long time saying I don't understand this ERAT trade. I don't know why he was brought in. He had two injuries last year, so you can kind of say, well, he had to get jumped around a lot because of those injuries. He was brought in when Brooks Like was not able to practice or play last year, and now that Brooks Like is back, he's kind of just sitting on the sidelines, you know, because they're trading off who's going to play what line. But this guy, like you said, a lot of money invested in this guy, and he's being wasted on the third line. Should a third line guy be making that much money? He said himself, I thought I was a top six guy. What am I doing on the third line? And why am I only playing 9 minutes? I love the fact that he wants to play more. You want that in a player, but he's being bounced around from center to wing. He's going from line to line. Yeah, I'm kind of with him. I don't understand it. I guess it's weird because he was one of the big guys in Nashville, and then you come into the Capitals and you're not looked at in the same light, and that's got to be a little hard for him.
Yeah, it certainly was a weird idea to have him on the third line, especially with the money he's making. I mean, they have some salary cap problems. They have a lot of guys making more money than they probably should. I'd like to see Erat on the first line, although – Johansson, I mean, he didn't look great last night. He had a couple of plays. He had one pass that ended up leading to a Chicago goal because it wasn't strong enough pass. There's certainly chemistry between Johansson, Ovechkin, and Backstrom. It's definitely there. I'd like to see Erat given a top six role, and I think you bump Like back. You know what? You said Like was a second line center. Put him on the third line. Put Fair back at the wing like he's supposed to be. Stop playing around with him, putting him at center spot. Have Like, Ward, and Fair. I think that could be an interesting line. I noticed last night that Chimera was out there with Ward at one point. So they're kind of bumping the lines around a little bit, moving players around a little bit to see. I don't know if the lines are necessarily settled yet. We'll see what happens. You know, Lotto is out there. I don't know exactly what's going to happen with him, if they're going to keep Tom Wilson around. I mean, Beagle, you got to think, is a guy they're going to be playing, but he wasn't playing last night. So I certainly don't think the lines are settled just yet. But let's all remember, let's not forget, it was one game. Okay, they're trying something new, but it was just one game. Let's not go crazy. We don't know where things are. Erat, to some extent, should have kept his mouth shut. Yes, he may have been asked the question, how you feeling, or what'd you think about playing here, and he answered honestly, which is fair, but let's not go crazy. Let's see what happens. Let's give it at least, you know, 5-6 games before we really see how these lines settle down.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it is one game, but we have 81 left in this season, and it was up against the Stanley Cup champions, and they raised a banner, so they had a lot fighting for last night. So I understand it being a hard-fought game and not coming out on top, even though I would have loved to have seen the Caps start off their season, 1-0. But you brought up a few guys. I mean, Tom Wilson, Connor Carrick, you know, they're rookies. We'll see what they do. But the other guy you brought up, Mike Latta, if you remember correctly, George McPhee went on to Elliott in the Morning when he traded for Erat, and Latta was a part of that trade. He seemed like he was more excited about Latta than Erat. So I think the reason why Latta's still up with the Capitals, he's not down in Hershey, is because I think George McPhee likes him a lot, and I think like he likes the fact that he's kind of a tough guy. I didn't really see too much from Latta that I was impressed with. I didn't like the fact that I didn't see Oleksii, Beagle, or Volpatti on the ice. I'm a big fan of all three of them, and I can't believe they were benched for the first game. But Latta, I don't know how much he brings to the table, but right now it seems like whatever George McPhee saw in him, they want to see if he can bring it at the NHL level.
I think Latta and Beagle have a lot of similarities to some extent with their physical play, and I could see both of them potentially playing. I think if you move out, let's say hypothetically, you move out Chimera and Ward, you could see a fourth line of like Latta, Beagle, Wilson, or something along those lines. So that's certainly a possibility. I think they want to see what they have in Latta. They can send him down to Hershey after a couple of games if they decide not to keep him around. But, you know, I think he played okay. Listen, him and Wilson, you know, played pretty well last night. I don't have any problems with them. Carrick, on the other hand, you know, yeah, a lot of rookie mistakes, not exactly a big deal because, you know, rookies have rookie mistakes. So we'll see what happens to him. I like to at least give Wilson and Carrick 9 games. You know, get into that 10-game mark before you have to decide whether you're going to burn a year of their entry-level deal by keeping them around before they decide what to do with them. I think in the end, Carrick's probably going to go back to the OHL and Wilson will end up sticking around unless he suddenly craps the bed. But I think in the end, I like – well, the way this roster looks, I just don't like the lineup right now. Not on some parts I do. I don't understand why Grabowski's with two grinders. I mean, Troy Brouwer, yes, he's a little bit more of a goal scorer than Brooks Like, but in the end, he's a physical guy just like. Why do you have two of them with a guy like Grabowski? put a goal scorer on that line. Put Erat up there. Get Erat, Gabrowski, and Brouwer. That's a line I'd like to see.
Yeah, I think we're going to be talking about this all season, man. I think you and I are going to be talking about these lines changing a lot. So that was just the first game. Unfortunately, it was a loss, but there's plenty of more coming up. And these lines are not set in stone like you brought up. I mean, we're going to see a lot of people kind of change around. So I'm interested to see what happens. And that 10-game mark, yeah, that's definitely going to be important to see what happens here. So, yeah, very excited for this season to get started. And I'm happy hockey is back and everything. But we got to bring up a sad note now. Matthew Perreault, who's been a fan favorite in DC and in Baltimore, the whole area and the whole Caps viewing area. Matthew Perreault, Perry Selly was a huge hashtag last year after his crazy celebrations after wins. But unfortunately, he's no longer a part of the Capitals organization. He's now an Anaheim Duck with Bruce Boudreau, his old buddy, who Bruce brought him up from Hershey a lot. I'm sad to see Perreault go. I thought he was a great talent, and he had a lot of great experience. I mean, 3 years here, but he kind of saw the writing on the wall, I think. He saw people like Erat and Fair taking the center spot, and Matthew Perreault wasn't getting a lot of play. So he did this last year. He said, if you're not going to play me, move me. And this time around, they actually did move him, and sad to see him go, but I think that's what he wanted. I don't think he wants to sit in the press box every night.
Yeah, the biggest thing I think I'm going to miss from Matthew Perreault is the celebrations, because those things were funny as hell. But I like Matthew Perreault, but this trade was going to happen eventually, whether it was now or later on. I think he's one of those guys that you keep around playing good on your third line. He could fill in on the second line for a couple of games if you need. But in the end, he's going to want more money than the Caps are willing to spend, and that he may be worth in hockey terms. So eventually he would have been gone one way or another. I would have liked to have gotten more for him, but in the end it doesn't really matter because you're just moving out that cap. I'd rather keep Tom Wilson up right now than have Matthew Perreault. I'm a little more concerned about the depth at center right now, especially offensively. They could hypothetically move Johansson back to the center, but I think in the end he's better as a winger. So we'll see how it's in regards to Perreault. I loved having him on the team. At the beginning he was very streaky, which is why he kept going back and forth between the Caps and Hershey. Now, I think he certainly found a spot on this team. I think in the end, the Erat and Fair center experiment is going to backfire. But losing Perreault, I don't think is going to be the end of the world. I liked him. I know a lot of people liked him, but this would have happened one way or another.
Yeah, I mean, you saw it for the last season or two where he wasn't being used. I remember in the Dale Hunter era, he was sitting in the press box pretty much the entire postseason. He was a guy that he was very talented. And I love the fact that he had experience and that he grew up in the Capitals organization. But he was very streaky. You couldn't count on him all the time. He tried his best, but sometimes he came up short, and you really had no idea who was going to be playing that night. And he wasn't like Semin, where like you could tell he didn't really care. He cared every game. He just couldn't get it done on certain nights. The big thing, though, it's very interesting if you go to RussianMachineNeverBreaks.com. They had a great article about Matthew Perreault and why he was let go. Now, they weren't a big fan of him being let go either, but they brought up something that was very interesting, and that's the fact that George McPhee went onto a radio show after the New York Rangers lost in the postseason and said that the Capitals got out-muscled and that they were overpowered. And I think that's one of the big reasons why Matthew Perreault was let go, is the fact that in the postseason, you got to be a big, strong dude. Matthew Perreault was not he was speedy, but he was a short, tiny guy. He was not going to win in a huge fight against a lot of these guys. So I think the reason why they let him go is because they want someone like Wilson, who's tall, who's got a lot of power behind him, to be up there for the postseason, because they want somebody strong. And Matthew Perreault, even though he does have his skills, he's not gonna be able to win those corner battles for the puck all the time because of his size. So I think one of the big reasons was due to his size that he did not fit into this organization anymore.
At the end of their careers, I think Tom Wilson is going to, this is not sounding mean to Perreault, but Tom Wilson has more upside, is how I should put this, than Perreault. I think the Caps are better off keeping Wilson around and having him grow, because I think one day Wilson's going to be a top six player for this team. I think in the future you could potentially have Kuznetsov, someone, and then Tom Wilson playing on like your second line, or potentially those guys could get bumped around to the first line, maybe Kuznetsov playing with Ovechkin and Backstrom at some point in the future. Perreault was a great guy to have. He was streaky at first, and he came on well, solidified his spot on the third line. I would have liked to probably kept him around for this season, I know I keep harping on this, but I think it would have made more sense to lose Joel Ward in the end and get rid of that $3 million cap hit. Put, you know, even if Erat's not playing a top six role, you put him on, you know, Erat, Pearl, and Fair. That would be a pretty interesting third line. But in the end, he's gone, and we have to deal with it. And, you know, I'm a little concerned about the center depth. It's not necessarily easy to go out there and find a second-line center. You know, God forbid that Backstrom or Grabowski goes down, something like that. And who's actually going to fill in? You know, is it Brooks like? Is he even going to be healthy? So what are they going to do in the future for, in case something happens there? But even that, regards to the lines, I mean, maybe you could potentially bump up Erat if he ends up winning some faceoffs and doing that. So the Caps really have some interesting things going on. And best of luck to Matthew Perreault in Anaheim.
Yeah, we'll miss the celebrations, and we'll miss his epic twit pick from a few years ago.
He's kind of a crazy dude, too. Not Brizgalov crazy.
No, but
he's just goofy.
I think John Carlson tweeted out, you remember this a couple years ago, where I think Matthew Perreault took a stick to the face or something and broke his nose. And, I mean, he had, like, you know, gauze and stuffed up his nose, and he just had this huge smile on his face. Yeah. So, I mean, that was a huge thing when all the players were starting to get on Twitter. He was one of the first twit picks. Everyone was like, oh, my God, look at his face. But, yeah, best of luck to Matthew Perreault. We'll see him soon against Anaheim. So, best of luck to him. Anything else going on in Caps world we got to talk about?
One last little bit of Caps news. Russian Machine Never Breaks is actually reporting that Troy Brower has said that Alex Ovechkin will be inviting the entire team to Russia, I believe, next summer for his wedding. I don't know if this is necessarily going to be the case. But hopefully, well, I was going to say hopefully for them that Ovechkin's paying for the flights, but I don't think any of these guys are going to have trouble paying for a flight to Russia. But yeah, it looks like Ovechkin will be inviting the entire team. Now, thankfully he doesn't play for the Chicago Blackhawks, because after that thing last night where they were not only introducing to you the team, but pretty much everybody that works in the stadium and just random people who live in Chicago, because I think it took so long last night. But yeah, it's pretty cool news for the Washington Capitals.
Hopefully, do you think you and I could be groomsmen?
I'm going to go with no.
That would be really nice, and I think Ovi the Bulldog should be the ring bear.
Ring bear?
Okay, look into my eyes and say, I promise that I'm not bringing a dangerous wild animal to our wedding.
That, I think, is a good point. That's a good idea. But if you see my picture on Twitter of what is it called? My profile picture? I don't know what you call it. That's more of a Facebook thing. Ovechkin doesn't look very happy to be standing next to me. But in the end, either way, he's getting married to a rather attractive woman, so best of luck to him. Congratulations and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, congrats, Ovi, and damn, she's hot. All right, well, if that's all we're going to talk about going on in Caps world, there's only one thing for us to do, and that's go up 83, and let's talk some Hershey Bears and Reading Royals. All right, man, well, the farm is about to get started. We're going to hang out. We're baling some hay. We're picking some corn up in Hershey. What's going on with the Bears?
Part of Hershey you're visiting, I'm going to Chocolate World to get me some free candy. Hershey starts their season Saturday at the Giant Center against the Adirondack Phantoms, which I believe are the minor league affiliate of the Philadelphia Flyers. Boo! Looks like Stan Galeev will start the season with Hershey. Hopefully he can do well there. I'd like to see him stick around there and potentially be a call-up if the Caps need someone to put the puck in the back of the net. Other notable players for Hershey are forwards Nathan Walker, that's your boy from Australia, and Garrett Mitchell, defenseman Thomas Kondratik, Dmitry Orlov, Cameron Schilling, and Nate Schmidt, as well as goalie Philip Grubauer. Up in Reading, they start their season on the 12th. I mean, that's Saturday the 12th, on the road against the Elmira Jackals. Their first home game is Saturday the 19th against the South Carolina Stingrays, the former ECHL affiliate of the Washington Capitals. Notable Reading players are goalies Brandon Anderson and Riley Gill, as well as defenseman Brett Fleming, who was drafted by the Caps in the fifth round of the 2009 NHL entry draft.
2009? He's in Reading?
Yeah. Well, he's not necessarily. You know, he's a slow guy. He's a late bloomer.
Okay.
You know, he make his way up later on. I don't know, man. I'm trying to help the guy out. You never know. No, I mean, some of these guys, look at Steve Alexie.
Yeah, that's very true.
He finally makes his NHL debut later in his career. You never know what could happen with Brett Fleming. But that is all of the news up in up 83.
That's very cool. Here's something that's kind of cool as well. I don't know if it was released today or this week or at some point, but if you do want to know what's going on in Reading, they just released an app. You can find in the Google Play Store or in the Apple App Store, and it kind of lets you see some of the game promotions, some news. I'm hoping they're going to add some live radio to that as well, so you can listen to some games of the Royals if you feel like you're missing some hockey. But there's links to like Facebook and Twitter and all that kind of stuff. And that's actually, I sent you the picture of their Halloween jersey I found on the app, which you gotta love minor league hockey because that jersey was pretty crazy,
freaking hideous. I mean, that thing. I understand that, like, the minor league teams, they do some of these silly stuff, but wow, that was just, there's just too much going on. Like, you guys need to settle down.
So that's pretty much it for Up 83. We will be right back, and we're going to go around the NHL in just a little bit. But first, here's a quick message from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to What the Puck!
Welcome back to What the Puck. This is around the NHL. The hockey season is in full swing now, but the NHL has some new rules, and hybrid icing is actually approved. So, Coach Dan, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it was announced last Monday that hybrid icing had been approved by the NHL and the NHL Players Association, and as we have seen, has been instituted in all games. Now, we've talked about this before. There's going to be some problems going in. A couple of referees are going to make mistakes. Players are going to make mistakes, but I think in the end, the NHL is on the right track towards helping players so you don't have these injuries. When you have a guy like Mike Green back there who's maybe racing back to get a puck, and then some big schmuck forward flying down the ice is going to crush him, I feel better that Green's not going to get hit. I mean, don't even breathe on him because the guy could end up getting hurt. In other unfortunate injury news, Montreal's George Parros will be out indefinitely after suffering concussion in Tuesday night's game against Toronto. He suffered the concussion after falling face first onto the ice during a fight. I mean, this just looked bad. I mean, he looked like he was – from what I was reading on Twitter, I only saw a quick clip of the face first onto the ice. But from what I was reading on Twitter, he tried to get up and then would fall down, and he was just completely out of it. It looked horrible.
Yeah, he looked messed up. But the crazy thing is let me know if you agree with me on this. It wasn't technically the fight that really knocked him out. He had his eyes closed, and he was throwing a fist, and the other guy had tripped and fell. He didn't see that the guy had fallen, and he kind of like leans in and tries to hit him, and he goes too far because there was nothing stopping him, and he went head first into the ice. Now, a lot of people, especially the NHL, I think are going to blame fighting on this injury because he is out indefinitely. But I think that they're going to kind of use this as an example of trying to get fighting out of the game and trying to make it a safer sport. But to me, it wasn't exactly fighting's fault because he should have had his eyes open. But I think this is definitely going to be used for future battles of whether or not fighting should be a bigger penalty or not.
Yeah, I mean, some people were going to use this. It was just kind of funny considering the injury went to a guy who made his career out of fighting. Yeah. But it's one of those things where things happen. I think something like this could have happened whether it was a fight or not. And people who want to get rid of fighting are going to use this as a way to take a shot at the NHL. But in the end, I mean, I just hope Parros ends up being okay and comes back and plays because this had nothing to do with fighting. It was just an accident, and these things happen. I mean, players get injured all the time, and it has nothing to do with fighting, so I don't know why they make a big deal out of specifically this one. The other issue with fighting, and I actually have this in my notes, so I'm just going to wing it. Their whole thing now is if you take off your helmet during a fight, it's a 2-minute penalty. Yeah. And I understand why they do this because they don't want players falling and hitting their heads, which then goes back to Parros wearing his helmet and falling and hitting his face, besides the point. But in the end, I'm as concerned about – I don't want one of my guys fighting against another guy wearing his helmet and breaking his hand or finger or something because he's punching the helmet.
Right.
You know, it's one of those things. So I think in the end, that rule is sort of silly, and we'll see how that goes going forward. I think in the end, these guys are going to be in the box for 5 minutes. You know, do you really want to cost your team an extra two and actually have them, give the other team the man advantage? I like last night. I believe during that game, there was another fight where both guys lost their helmets. So in the end, that was kind of fair. I like that. You know, in the end, it's kind of silly.
I'm confused because they get 2 minutes for the helmet coming off, but if it's in the middle of a fight and it just falls off, I mean, that's not their control. It's not underneath their control.
I don't believe that counts, does it? I don't think that one counts. I think it's if you take it off yourself.
I don't know. I remember in a preseason game, somebody lost their helmet in the midst of a fight. It might have even been Wrecker, and he got the extra 2 minutes, even though he kept the helmet on, and it kind of flew off when somebody hit him in the head. So I don't know.
We'll have to look into this, do a little more research to find out specifically what the rule is. Because if you're getting a 2 minute penalty because someone else knocked your helmet off, well, that's just not fair.
Right. I mean, who's going to target the helmet then to like try to push it off to get those extra 2 minutes?
Yeah, players will be purposely targeting that so that they get their team a power play. I mean, that's kind of a BS rule there if it ends up being, you know, you're not even your fault. That kind of a thing. But anyways, going back into NHL news. Martin Brodeur's run of 18 straight starts on opening night for New Jersey will come to an end against the Pittsburgh Penguins as the Devils are going to go with Corey Schneider, who is arguably going to be the future Devils goaltender once Martin Brodeur's ridiculously amazing career comes to an end. Speaking of Pittsburgh, Tomas Vokoun is expected to miss 3 to 6 months after undergoing surgery to remove a blood clot, which I believe was in his hip. Is that correct?
I believe so, yeah.
He will be allowed to be active during his time off while he is on blood thinners and will be reevaluated in 3 months. Now, I know he's a member of the Penguins, so we're supposed to hate him, but this is beyond hockey right here, and I hope Vokoun ends up being okay because that is a pretty scary thing to have happen to anyone.
Yeah, this isn't his first blood clot either. He had this happen before, but I'm glad they were able to catch it in time, and even though you feel bad for the Penguins losing a goalie like that because he was talented, but just the guy, you got to feel some remorse for the guy because, you know, you don't want anything like that to ever happen to somebody. And for him to miss 6 months, you got to know how serious of an injury that is.
Yeah, I mean, that's just scary. That goes beyond hockey. That's one of those things where it's not a hockey player anymore. He's just a person.
You're right.
And not scary news. Tampa Bay has announced Martin St-Louis will be the next captain after the team bought out Vincent LeCavalier back during the summer, who then signed with Philadelphia. Segue here. Speaking of the Flyers, they signed veteran defenseman Hal Gill to a one-year deal. He was invited to their training camp back in September. Buffalo has named Tomas Vanek and Steve Ott as their captains for this season. You'll like this part. Vanek will be the captain during home games and Ott during away games. That's just silly to me.
Okay.
Just pick one. Is it really that big a deal?
It's a new way of thinking. It's like where every kid gets a medal for just participating. Let's just have everyone be the captain.
Everyone gets to be in charge. No, I mean, I get it because the captain goes and talks to referees, whatever. But it's just silly to me. The final captain news, Edmonton has named Andrew Ferentz as their next captain. Phil Kessel, fresh off being a pansy, signed an 8-year, $64 million deal with Toronto. Comes out to about $8 million a year annually. That dude is getting paid, and he's still a pansy. The New York Rangers signed Derek Stepan to a new 2-year deal worth $6.15 million. And he better do well because I have him on my fantasy team. Florida signed goalie Tim Thomas after he was on a tryout contract. Good luck, Tim. Took a year off, and he ended up in Florida instead of Boston. Way to go, genius. Steven Wino is reporting that Ilya Brizgalov, the craziest man in hockey, will sign with the ECHL's Las Vegas Wranglers. I believe the idea here is to get him back into hockey shape so that he can then go and sign with an NHL team. I know there was a report we talked about last week that he may be going to the – or no, we didn't talk about it last week. I believe you tweeted it to me that he was actually rumored to be – the Pittsburgh Penguins were interested in him. That apparently is not the case. Unfortunately, the Penguins aren't quite that crazy.
Wow. So he's completely missing the AHL, and he's going down to the ECHL. Wow, this guy's stock has fallen so bad.
My guess is that he plays some games with them, maybe a couple of weeks, and then somebody who gets an injury ends up bringing him up and signing him to a deal. Maybe he plays in the AHL for a little bit. And then my guess, by the end of the year, he's playing in the NHL, although probably as somebody's backup, and he's not going to make a lot of money.
Right. Not
but he already got paid so much by Philly. Who cares? Notable players placed on waivers before the season started are John Michael Lyles of Toronto, and I just had to add this one because it's funny, Jeff Schultz with Los Angeles. The NHL announced last Thursday that the LA Kings and Anaheim Ducks will play the outdoor game at Dodger Stadium on January 25th. Now, if you listen to the podcast over the summer, you know that I don't understand what reason whatsoever they're playing an outdoor hockey game in Los Angeles.
I just have one question. It's just one question. How are you doing this?
You know what? If Boudreaux had problems with the ice in Pittsburgh because it was raining and in the 40s and they thought it was too warm. Good luck, dude. All right, Matty P, have fun playing in an outdoor game. Have fun swimming because I don't understand how that's going to work. And lastly, in some Olympic news, USA Hockey will announce their Olympic rosters on January 1st during the Winter Classic. That is all the interesting NHL news from the past week.
Now, I do want to bring up one story that I don't know if you saw this or not. This is more international hockey, but over in the KHL, the man who decided to just leave the New Jersey Devils and retire, quote-unquote, from the NHL, Mr. Kovalchuk, turns out he's actually missing a month after he got a hit during a KHL game from his own teammate. His own teammate who actually he played with. During
so he got E-ratted?
Pretty much. The guy he was playing with, he also played on the New Jersey Devils with. Alexei, I'm going to...
Ponikarovsky.
That's how you say the name, and you know how to say it. Yeah, apparently he checked Kovalchuk by mistake. Kovalchuk took a shoulder to pretty much his shoulder and fell to the ice, and he's going to be missing a month. So you retire from the NHL, you leave the New Jersey Devils hanging, and then a couple days later you sign with the KHL, and now you're out a month after being the poster child for the KHL. Not a good time for Kovalchuk in his career, I got to say.
It's not a good time in the KHL. He's out, I believe, because Netsoff is still out for a little while. The KHL is looing their only two good players.
And there are no doctors in Russia, apparently, because Kuznetsov, he went over to Germany to have his shoulder worked on.
I think everybody goes to Germany. European football players go to Germany a lot when they have injuries, too. Maybe Germany's just got some really good doctors.
Maybe. Who knows, man? So that's pretty much it for the show. Before we talk again, there are two games to look out for the Washington Capitals. On Thursday, October 3rd, the Capitals open up their home stand at the Verizon Center down in D.C. against the Calgary Flames. If you're not going to the game starts at 7 o'clock, and it will be on Comcast Sportsnet. So we get to see Craig Laughlin and Joe B. calling a game once again. Thank goodness, because after watching it on NBC for that first game, I miss them even more.
I like Emmerich. I don't know why everybody hates on him.
Yeah.
Milbury, I can't stand, and thankfully he's only in between, but I like Beninati. He's my guy, but I like Emmerich. I like how he gets so excited when a team scores. Unfortunately, it was far too often for the opposing team last night, but I like Emmerich. Apparently, I'm the only one. Me and all the New Jersey Devils fans, as he calls their games.
All right, and then on Saturday, October 5th, the Capitals on the road again against the Dallas Stars. That game is at 8 o'clock, and again, it's on Comcast Sportsnet. Then after that, you have a little break. You can listen to What the Puck and get ready for the next set of games, and the next one after that is going to be October 10th. So two games we're going to be able to discuss next week. If you want to talk about those games before we record again, there's plenty of ways to get in touch with us. You can follow me on Twitter at Brando Cash, and Coach Dan, he's on Twitter as well. Where can people follow you?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can find me actually at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals. That's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about the Brando Cash Network?
That's right. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. That's where you'll get information about this show and all the other shows on the Brando Cash Network. If you are a fan of What the Puck, make sure you are following us and liking us on Twitter and Facebook. Facebook.com/WTP Podcast, two P's. And then on Twitter, it's at WTP_podcast. Plenty of different ways to listen to us. Make sure you tell people how. We are on iTunes. We are on Stitcher. We are on the Baltimore Sports Report Network. And we're also at whatthepuckcaps.brandocash.com. Tell a friend. Let them know that they should be listening to What the Puck. The season just started. Get your friends into hockey now so they're invested by the time the postseason comes. And let them know to listen to What the Puck on social media. Let them know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Vine and Reddit and Instagram and any way you are social on the web. Or text them. Let them know in person. Share it with people at work. Do whatever you got to do and let them know to listen to What the Puck. Go over to iTunes if you're an iTunes subscriber. Leave us an iTunes review. Let us know whether you like the show or not. Help us gain a little notoriety in the iTunes world. So thank you very much for listening this week. That's pretty much it for What the Puck this week. And now, Coach Dan with the Brizgalov forecast.
Brizgalov is crazy.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.
Zamboni, how do you feel about the season so far?
Yeah, see, that's just not good for radio.
Sorry, watching Ovi the Bulldog's video for Hump Day.
Nice.
Guess what day it is, and then it's him humping Sidney Crosby.
Very nice.
We say goodbye to Matthew Perreault as he flies away. Well, I'm going to start right there.
Flies away home.
Yeah, exactly. We say goodbye to Matthew Perreault as he fly... Not flies. Is it flies away? Fly away home?
Is
it flies? Is that the correct way of saying he flies away? That doesn't sound right. Flies away
home.
All right, well, if that's all in Caps world, do Shanae, that's for the end of the show.
Hey, good night, everybody.
You were complaining that you were the only one that was getting the bloopers at the end.
Not this week.
Not this week at all.
Edmonton named Andrew Ference as their next captain. And then Phil Kessel at fresh off. I'm going to do that again because that just went poorly. That whole sentence structure just did not work. I'm going to go back to the Edmonton thing because I just feel like that was a bad segue there too.
And as always, we have a new sign off. Here we go. Coach Dan, let us know how crazy is I forgot his name. Damn. That was
he's so crazy you can't remember his name. It's gonna be like a Family Guy segment.
I was just gonna keep going.